Well, it happened 12:11 a.m., the 25th of August. Lisa and I became grandparents. The most beautiful baby in the world, Sterling Lee Hughes, was born. And we're so, so excited. Grandparents, you might be going, there's no way you're a grandfather. As young as you look, as dynamic, there's no way. Well, yes, there's a way. There's a way. I'm just prematurely gray. That's all. That's all. Anyway, there's nothing like childbirth. We all have a birthday. We do. You might be wondering, man, Ed, how old are you? Well, it's important for you to remember my birthday. I appreciate that. It's March 16th, 1961. I'm a 61 model. When's your birthday? Let's all say our birthdays out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. Yeah. I can hear you down in Miami at our beautiful campus in Southwest Florida, Fellowship Northport. I can hear that. Salina Prosper, Dallas, Fort Worth, South Lake Keller, even all the way at beautiful El Oso Ranch, because I want to welcome everyone who's here today. Thank you guys for being here. I really, really appreciate it. We're in a series called Open Heart. Open Heart. We've been saying around here, and this is kind of different maybe for some of you to absorb this, Jesus is the supernatural surgeon. That's right, he's a doctor. He was called the great physician. The Bible, I'm talking about the Word of God, the Scripture is a scalpel, a scalpel. This book convicts, this book cuts, this book performs surgery, does it not? I had heart surgery 12 weeks ago. They cracked open my chest, cut me from stem to stern. I had to go through some pain, yet I'm better on the other side. I feel great. So often, that's the way the Bible works in all of our lives. And quite frankly, that's why a lot of people don't like to come to church. They don't want to have surgery performed. But if they'll stay with it, what's going to happen? Miracles will happen. Supernatural stuff will happen. Because our heart is the hope of the world. Our heart, your heart, my heart, is basically a home for Jesus. Isn't that cool? So today, we want to do some open heart surgery because of our surgeon, because of the Scripture, and because of the potential of our heart. Now, when I say the word heart, I'm not talking about that fist-sized muscle, that vital organ incarcerated in your rib cage or mine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another kind of heart. We use the word heart. She has heart. He has heart. Go with your heart, we say. What does it mean when someone says heart? It simply means the seat of self, your intellect, your spirituality, the essence of who you are. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what Jesus is driving at. That's why he's the surgeon. That's why our heart has such potential. And that's why Scripture is so convicting. You know, when people come to church, they have one of three reactions. They either get mad, and I've had people get mad before. They'll get mad, offended at something from the Word of God, because basically, I have nothing to say by myself. Zero. I mean, I can't wax eloquently about anything, really. Yet, I'm called to preach and teach the Word of God. And when I preach and teach the Word of God, which I've done for 27 years, oh yeah, God uses my vocal cords and he has something to say. So I have nothing to say by myself. The Bible, the Word of God, the blessed blade has everything to say. And sometimes people get mad. And I say to them, hey, don't get mad at me. If you have a problem, ask God about it. Don't send me a scathing email. Try an email. And just say, God, here it is, here I am. But it's okay to get mad. I've gotten mad before. Wow, it's convicting. Ooh, that hurt, you know? And then we'll move so often from madness to sadness. And part of repentance is godly sorrow. It's feeling and we know in our heart of hearts we've hurt the heart of God. So if you'll, even if you're mad, just hang around here. You'll move from madness to sadness. Then on the other side, there'll be gladness. There really, really will. God wants to perform surgery. He has your best interest in mind. Likewise, the surgeon that operated on me, he's one of the best when it comes to mitral valve surgeons in the world. I researched him, and amazingly, I got into him. He did not perform this surgery for his benefit. He wasn't saying to himself, wow, I can make more money. I mean, he's got a lot of that. He's not worried about a claim. He goes all over the world. He's operated on emperors and kings and queens and celebrities and even a regular guy like me. He did, though, say when he looked at my heart that there was more love in my heart than any other person he's ever operated on in his life. Anyway, so he did that to help me. So the master surgeon, the supernatural surgeon, the Lord Jesus himself, he is performing surgery for your best interest in mind. Isn't that cool? That's great. So today, I just want to tell you about some things. Now, if you're a believer, if your heart beats fast for the Lord, if you know him personally, you can use this to share this with others because I've given everyone a little map, a message map. Take out your message map, whether you're here or at one of our many locations. You can wave, yeah, way up in the balcony. I see you, man. Awesome. Great. Good to see you guys. You know, when I was a teenager, my father is also a pastor. I used to sit with Lisa, I hate to confess this, way up in the balcony, kind of hidden from him, holding hands. I even would steal a kiss now and then during his message. But I always would kiss her in church. Just a quick kiss when Dad would look down, boom, that'd be the kiss, and he wouldn't see it. So I want to do some drawing. The first one I want to draw is, and again, connect the dots, because that's what we're doing today. For some of you, you'd be like, I've never connected the dots. Okay, I'm going to do a little drawing for you, the heart. The heart. And God, man. Basically, we know the first thing the Bible talks about is the fact that God is a God of love. Say it with me. God is a God of love. God loves you and me with his whole heart. We didn't deserve it, yet we're made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it together and fill in the blanks. God saw all that he had what? Made, and it was very good. Everybody is made in the image of God. You've never looked at someone who does not matter to God. People say, well, I just don't matter. I'm a no count. I'm alone. No, are you kidding me? You are valuable. So valuable. You in fact, if we knew how valuable we were, we'd fry circuits. That's how valuable we are. You have a one-of-a-kind laugh, a one-of-a-kind smile, a one-of-a-kind personality. Just like Sterling, our granddaughter is a unique human being. You're unique as well. You're made in the image of God. The potential in your life and mine is unlimited. Well, back in the day, everything was synced up. Back in I'm talking about back in the garden, man, we had it going on with God. It was perfect. Our heart beat in sync with God. And God gave man all of these choices. I like to say squillions of choices. God just did that because of his love and because he desired a relationship with man. And everything was perfect, but we had a choice. You wouldn't believe it. We had squillions of choices. Yet God said, hey, don't jack with the fruit on the tree in the middle of the garden, and what do you think happened? Well, I'll talk about that in a second. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. This is the life that God intended us to have. This wholeness, this health in our heart. But what did we do? We chose to turn our heart from God and follow the beat of our own heart, which we're going to find out led to a flatline existence. Man chose to look away from God. And if you look in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the first time that man looked away from God for his significance, that is when sin entered the game. And the Bible says man and woman tried to cover their nakedness. I mean, they were walking around nude in the garden. That's how amazing it was. So Eve literally tried to cover her carcass with a shopping spree to Neiman Marcus. That was funny. That's what she did. Yet they began to blame each other. God confronted them because of their sin, because of their failure. They began to play the blame game. And they blamed each other, and finally they blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Oh, I'm on a roll. Help me. That was good. No love, no laughter. I mean, I can't make these things up. I had to work on that timing. So man sinned, and sin is just what we do. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to write down is God loves us with all of his heart. Yet man chose to rebel against God. Man chose to do his own thing, his own way. So we broke the heart of God. Sin. What is sin? What is sin anyway? Sin, in the original language, is pronounced hamartia. It is an archery term. You've got a bullseye, you know? Someone's shooting an arrow. If the arrow hits right here, it still hasn't hit the target. God's standard of goodness is perfect. He's holy. He's just. He can't even wink at sin. He can't say boys will be boys, girls will be girls. If you keep your nose clean, if you are better than the other person. No. God is holy. So back in the day, everything was just copacetic. It was perfect. It was like we were synchronized. Our hearts were beating together. Yet we have a choice. Love has a choice. God chose to love us, did he not? And we have a choice. We're not, you know, robots. 70s. Michael Jackson. So I can't moonwalk, though. That's pathetic. So even if you miss the mark, let's call this mark God's standard of goodness. GSG. Even if you miss the mark 1/100th of an inch, or if you're way out here, you've still sinned. Because the word hamartia is an archery term, it's missing the target. When our granddaughter gets older, we're not gonna have her sinning lessons. We're not gonna say, oh, it's our goal for you to be an AAU sinner or to be in club sin. No, she just knows how to do it. People are like, no, I'll tell you, dude, I think babies when they're born are all good. They have a lot of good things, but if you don't believe in the sin nature, just crank out a couple of kids and just watch them. No one taught me how to lie. I remember my first lie. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. No one taught me how to say bad words. I just learned it. I just knew how to say bad words. No one taught me how to think impure thoughts. You ever thought about that? Who taught me that? I don't know. It's sin. So we miss God's standard of goodness. We miss it. So no one taught me that. And sin separates us from God. God, man. Because of sin, we deserve eternal separation from God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let's read it together at all campuses. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're in trouble. I'm a self-centered sinner. I'll admit it. So are you. People say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. No, we're not full because there's always room for more. We're all hypocrites. That's what's so funny. I'm a hypocrite. I'll say it right now. I mean, for example, The Bible says in Ephesians that I'm to love Lisa like Christ loved the church. Have I always loved her that way, perfectly? Heck no. Ask her. I've said, I want to love Lisa like Christ loved the church. 35 years ago, in front of a pastor, I will love Lisa like Christ loved the church. But I haven't. So I'm a hypocrite. So I think it's really refreshing to say, I'm a hypocrite. Now, hopefully I'm not the level of hypocrite that I used to be. Hopefully, you know, God's improving me by his grace from the inside out. But don't ever say, oh, he's just a hypocrite. Yeah. And I have this tendency, so do you, to compare and contrast yourself with others. I want to say to myself, Lord, I mean, yeah, I've got a couple of X's on the moral scorecard, but compared to my neighbor down the street, I'm looking pretty sweet. And yeah, maybe I am better, a nicer guy than my neighbor. Maybe I am. But you know what? Sin is sin. So we have a problem. We have a problem. So at this point, God could have said, well, too bad, so sad. Check out Romans 6:23. You're not going to see this on a coffee mug. Oh, that was good. For the wages, I'm on a roll, I'm telling you. I'm a grandfather now. For the wages of sin is death. Ed, come on now. Death, are you talking about flat line? Well, here's what I'm talking about right here. This flat line would be hell. Whoa, you might be saying, hell, oh my gosh, hell, the H word, that's right, hell. God does not send anyone to hell. Let me say it again. God does not send anyone to hell. Let me say it again. God does not send anyone to hell. We make that what? Choice. God chose to love us. We've chosen to rebel against him. Do you realize that it's God's will for everyone to become a believer? Every single person is God's will for all of us to become believers. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? The world. So God wants all of us to become believers. So if you end up going to hell, you're going against the grain of God. You're going against the will of God to go to hell. Yet, what did man do? Man said, you know what? I'm not going to follow God's heartbeat. I'm going to follow my own heartbeat. And when man followed his own heartbeat, you have brokenness and you have some serious heart failure. Am I right? Because of sin. So what has man done? Oh, man has tried to bridge the brokenness to God. So we try religion, we try moralism, we try politics, we try this or that. Religion is basically a colossal construction project from man's side to God's side, but we don't have the tools, we don't have the ingenuity to bridge the gap over brokenness. I want to be philosophical. I want to be better than the next person. If I erase the world from wars or racism or whatever, and all those things are great, but it's not going to get you to God. So people have tried, and these things fall short. Ah, boof. Ah, poof. Ah, poof. They fall short. This is a cosmic chasm. Sin has separated us from God. So God cannot look at sin. So there are the eyes of God. He can't even glance at it because he is holy. What did God do? And this, well, let me just read a couple more verses so we can fill in the blanks, because I don't want to leave any blank unfilled. Because invariably I do. Invariably I'll leave a blank unfilled, and someone will come up, you forgot that. And then, oh yeah, I did, I forgot it. So I want to make sure that I'm being very thorough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, you could say the compensation for our conduct, sin, is condemnation, death. The number one cause of death, by the way, is heart disease. And the number one cause of death is heart disease. Proverbs 14:12. Isn't this true? There's a way that seems right to a man. I just illustrated it. But in the end, it leads to death. So again, we broke God's heart. The bridge does not bridge the brokenness. It's time to take off our hard hats, take off the tool belts, and go, God, I don't deserve anything. I deserve eternal separation from you. That's why I want to draw the next thing. Sin. Sin separates and alienates. It's doomy and gloomy, is it not? It keeps us from this incredible life that God offers. Well, the scripture says this about this situation, because this is the good news. First thing, if you're taking notes, God loves us with all of his heart. The second thing, man broke his heart because of our heart failure. We failed to live up to God's standards, obviously. We deserve a flat line existence in forever. Number three, God's solution to our pollution, or we could say God's solution to our heart failure, is Jesus. So what did God do? God saw this situation in John 3:16, for God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only what? Son. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, the Bible. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the what? Let's say it together. Scriptures, the blessed blade, the supernatural scalpel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made, okay, you know what, let's all read this together. I want us to read this together. 1, 2, 3. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what did God do? God sent Jesus, and Jesus gave his heart. I mean, he put it on the line. He gave all of his heart. He put his heart on the cross voluntarily, and he bridged the gap. Jesus bridged the gap from God to man. He did it. Jesus did. We don't deserve it. Yet he totally and completely identified with us. He became the righteousness that we deserve. He was totally, that we don't deserve. He was totally holy, totally pure. Again, as the scripture said, totally righteous. So Jesus satisfied the demands of God. Remember, God cannot look at sin, so we deserve eternal separation from him. God, because of his irrational, one-of-a-kind love, because he wanted to give us an opportunity to reclaim what we'd screwed up in the garden, God sent Jesus to give his heart, his perfect heart, for you and me, and for this great exchange to take place. Our guilt for his grace, our sin for the Savior, our lies for the Lordship of Jesus. Is that awesome? So now, when God looks at us, if we've appropriated this, if we've arranged for this to happen, so now when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees the righteousness of Christ. So let's draw one more. Are you ready? I can tell. Again, we're connecting the dots, are we not? Here's the last thing. Ezekiel 36, 26, powerful, before I draw. I'll give you a new, say it with me, heart, and put a new what? Spirit in you. Let's keep going. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Whoa. So now we have sin, of course. Let's keep with our theme. And we have Jesus. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Saved. Rescued. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So Jesus, wow, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So if we ask, watch this now, very important when I draw this, if we ask Jesus in our heart, a heart transfer takes place. A heart transplant takes place. I read the first heart transplant happened in 1982. Well, that was true physically, but spiritually, it's been happening for 2,000 years. God has arranged a heart transplant. I mean, it's the greatest deal. Jesus in your heart or my heart. If you've made this decision, if you've arranged for this, if you've chosen this, because it's your choice or my choice. I mean, I could have looked at my surgeon and said, I'm not going to have surgery. But I had about 6 months to live in the same condition I was in. You can look at me, because I've taught you God's word, what it says about how to have the heart that God wants you to have in your life. You can look at me and go, you know, forget it. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's your prerogative. I implore you, though. I beg you. I pray, and we've been praying for you, to make this decision to invite Jesus in your heart, to give you a new heart, because he's done the work to take all of your sin, all of your guilt, all of my sin, all of my guilt upon himself, and I've made that choice to receive him. So if you've made that choice, take this little handout with you. It's going to be on our app, and share it with someone. So often people don't know how to become a Christian. It's the essence of what the Bible is about. The Bible is about Jesus. The Bible is the Word of God. And Jesus is called the Word of God in the Scriptures. So you're teaching people, you can share with people in a visual way with the hard copy or on our app about how to become a Christian, how to become a believer. And I'm not talking about religion here, I'm talking about a relationship. So now let me talk to you, because we have a lot of people here and a lot of people at all of our environments who have never made this decision. You've never made this choice to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you look at Jesus, he always compared himself to stuff that would penetrate, water of life. Water penetrates the soil. I'm the bread of life. Bread penetrates our body when we eat it. Jesus wants to penetrate your life and mine to give us a new heart and a new life. Have you made that decision? Because if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born physically one time and you're not spiritually reborn, you die, and only God knows that day and time, and then you die because you're in eternity separate from God in a place called hell. However, if you're born twice, a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday, you die once. Are you ready to die? You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And it's stunning. Over the years, I was just thinking recently about how many people have come to fellowship over the years and how many times I've heard about someone passing away like the week after I've preached a message like this. And I said to myself, I wonder if they've arranged for this heart transplant to take place. So I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision right now. If you've never made that decision, and it's simply a prayer, a choice, I want to give you a chance to do that. We all have a birthday physically. Do you have a birthday spiritually? Let's make sure that we do. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? God, I want to pray a prayer. And this is a prayer that I prayed years ago when I arranged this situation, this heart transplant to happen in my life. And right now, you might be saying to yourself, well, Ed, I'm not ready to make this decision. You know what? You're never going to be ready. You're never ready really to get married. You're never really ready to have kids. You're never really ready to be a grandparent. Are you ready? No. But you have an opportunity right now to allow this heart transplant to take place. I'm just simply telling you what God has told us through His Word. So just pray this prayer. And the moment you pray this prayer, Jesus will do the heart transplant thing. It's supernatural. You might be way up there in the balcony. You might be on the back row in Miami. You might be in one of our overflow rooms in Fort Worth. You just pray this prayer with me, and God will come into your life. Just say this to yourself. God, I believe You love me. And You want my heart to beat for You. But I've failed You. I've sinned. But I believe to the best of my ability. I believe it. And here's what Jesus said about belief. If you have the belief of a mustard seed, that's a tiny seed, that's enough. Even if you have doubt, we all have doubts. It's time to step out, to diesel through the doubt. So God, I believe You love me, but I admit to You that I've sinned and my sins have separated me from You. And I acknowledge the fact, I accept the fact, I believe that You sent Jesus to bridge the gap, to die on the cross for my sins. And right now I ask Jesus into my heart. Jesus, give me a new heart. Perform a heart transplant. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you breathed those words and meant them to the best of your ability, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, here and at all of our different churches, would you lift your hand with me? Just lift your hand. All right, I got you. Yep. Guys, ladies, awesome. Awesome. Lift your hand. I got it. Yep. In the back, way up in the balcony. Yes, way up there. Wow, it's awesome. To the side, in the side, lift your hand. I prayed this prayer with you, Ed. This is my moment. This is my spiritual birthday. This is my spiritual birthday. Okay, I'm going to ask you, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you lifted your hand for the first time, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. We're going to dim the lights. And those of us who are followers of Christ, I want us to pray. I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, to step out and walk down the aisles at all of our different environments and stand down front. You might be saying, Ed, why? I mean, that's because every time Jesus calls someone to Himself, He did it publicly. And we're going to invite you to do that because He's God and He knew when we do that, we go on record. Think about all the public things that we do to signify defining moments, graduations or weddings or whatever. We don't do those privately. Yeah, they're private decisions, but we go public with them. So when I close this prayer down by saying amen, when I close this prayer down, don't hesitate. I want you to just walk forward. You might be, again, way in the balcony. That's cool. We'll wait for you down front. Again, you might be in one of the overflow rooms in one of our campuses, or maybe you're on the front row or back row. Don't hesitate. You walk forward. You're saying, Jesus, I put my flag up. I put my hand up, my life up for you. Father, we ask all these things. Get ready when I say amen to come forward. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our living Lord. You ready? Amen. You come as God leads. Don't hesitate. And I prayed that prayer with you. I prayed that prayer with you, and I'm coming forward. Is this awesome? You respond. In the balcony, I see, yes, awesome. This is it. The Bible says there's a party in heaven. There's a celebration in heaven when someone responds, when someone has this heart transplant. You come. Don't delay anybody else at our campuses. Come on. We'll wait for you in the balcony. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you prayed the prayer. You come on down. You come on down front. We'll wait for you. Maybe you brought somebody and you know they prayed the prayer. Just say, hey, did you pray the prayer with Ed? Walk down with them. Walk down with them. You know, this is one of the reasons why we're here, is it not? Anyone else, you just come while I'm talking. But I want to talk to you guys and give you about a 60-second talk. You know, after my heart surgery, you know, I'm in pain and all that, this brilliant doctor told me, he goes, it's critical that you begin to walk. And I'm thinking to myself, walk? I'm in so much pain. But you saw the short film last week. You can watch it online. I started walking. Jesus tells us the same thing. We need to walk. Your walk as a believer. Well, the first step, you've made the first step. You've given your heart to Christ with this heart transplant. But the next step is something called baptism. Baptism. I was in the lobby. So many people at the last service were baptized. Baptism symbolizes that you have made that decision. It's like the wedding ring. I have one of these rubber wedding rings. I love them. And this symbolizes my commitment. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment. Baptism is the same. And the Bible says, let me put a scripture, Acts chapter 2, 41. When the church was just developing, Simon Peter preached a message, and it says those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. All right? How can we make this day that day? By being baptized. So in just a couple of moments, we're going to take you out. And again, it's your choice. But we want to baptize you. And when you're baptized, again, it's... I mean, if I took this ring off, I do this all the time to illustrate this. Am I still married? Yes. It's a symbol. So is baptism, but it's packed with spiritual significance. Lisa grew up in a Lutheran church. She was sprinkled. I'm sure we have a lot of people. You were sprinkled and spritzed and all of that, and that's awesome. I would have you, though, get baptized on the right side of this heart transplant. Because in the Bible, if you look at the progression, someone becomes a believer, then they're baptized, all right? So that holds true here and at all of our campuses. And maybe, let me look at you just for a second, all of you guys. Maybe you've prayed this prayer. You're like, Ed, man, I'm with you, my brother. I feel you. Well, have you been baptized by immersion, by going under the water? That's the question. That's called believer's baptism. We're baptized after we've made this decision. So I believe scores and scores of you can join these people right now. You've prayed this prayer before. You're a believer, but you've never been baptized. And I want to give you a chance right now to come forward to say, you know what? I'm getting baptized. Maybe a family needs to get baptized. Maybe friends, maybe a married couple. We've had all sorts of people. So I want you to come here and in all of our locations to get baptized. Are you ready? You come to get baptized. Let's worship the Lord together. Right. Let's give it up. Anybody else? I know we got some people. I know we got some people who need to go H2O. Well, I'm not ready to get baptized. You're never ready. Now's the time, the Bible says. Up there in the balcony again, we'll wait for you. Come down. And here's the... As you guys are continuing to respond, here's the cool thing about baptism. Well, this is one benefit. After you're baptized, we give you this free, tell me this is not cool, heart t-shirt. Custom designed by our graphics area. I had one of these on the other day and I was running through my neighborhood. I could tell people were jealous. They were like, I mean, they didn't want to say anything. They were like, whoa, you know. So you got that. Also, we give you a baptismal uniform. As I always say, don't get baptized just for this cool uniform. But look at this. I love this shirt too. Liquid swagger. Because we're saying, I'm on Christ's team. All right, so we'll give you that and these cool baggy shorts. So we have changing rooms for guys and girls at all of our different locations. We want to baptize you. And I tell you what, I'll make this deal with you. When all these go out to get ready, we'll have someone standing down front with this shirt on. And if you're like, you know what? I didn't come forward. And I'm all right, there's somebody else. Awesome. I didn't come forward. I was thinking about it. And you're like walking to your car and you go, man, I wish I'd have gotten baptized. We'll have someone standing right here. And all I got to do is come down front and they'll take you and get baptized, okay? Is that a good deal or what? All right. Let's pray for these as they go out. Father, thank you for this amazing, amazing service. We thank you for your glorious gospel. And we thank you for these decisions, these transplants that took place. We ask all these things in Christ's name. If everyone would look at me at all of our campuses, again, you can join them if you would like to get baptized. Next week, you don't want to miss it. It's Labor Day weekend. Open Heart Part 4 is going to be fun. I'll see you there.